Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathy Kay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, November 4th, 2020, and we are reading from the Big Book on page 14 in Bill's story, the third and fourth paragraphs down. Today's readers are Laura R. on the 12 Steps, Naomi B. reading the 12 Traditions. Reading the text are Sherry M., Jody E., and Robin P. Our newcomer greeter today is Christina L., and giving announcements is Leslie M., and Elaine B. is recording for us. The share IDs for Tuesday, yesterday, November 3rd, 10 a.m. East Coast meeting is 15,698 or 15698. And the share ID for this morning, 7 a.m. East Coast Vision meeting is 15,706. Or 15706. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Laura R. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, Kathy. This is Laura R., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you, Laura R. Naomi B., please read the 12 traditions of OA for us.
Thank you, Kathy. Good morning. Good morning, family. This is Naomi B., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater outside Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trust and service. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. These problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible for those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issue, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relation policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media communications. 12. Anonymity is our spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Naomi B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 14, paragraph 3, which is in the middle of the page. I will now ask Sherry M. to get us started. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning. Thank you for your service, Kathy. My name is Sherry M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. For a moment, I was alarmed and called my friend, the doctor, to ask if I were still sane. He listened in wonder as I talked. Finally, he shook his head, saying, "Something has happened to you. I don't understand, but you had better hang on to it. Anything is better than the way you were." The good doctor now sees many men who have such experiences. He knows that they are real. Oh, what a great couple paragraphs here. Bill's story, I'm so grateful that today I can identify in with Bill. I ate like he drank, and I thought like he drunk, and I have had experiences like he has had with the spiritual experience. He had a sudden experience in the hospital. And what he's referring to here is, you know, asking if he's still sane. I relate to that. How could one day I be binging my brains out, videotaping myself, and wondering if I was going to lock myself up in an institution because I couldn't stop eating, and then the next day after, you know, coming across someone who's recovered, who's telling me what to do, now all of a sudden I'm living in this other dimension by being recovered. He's wondering, you know, what is real and what's not real. And I love that the doctor's listening to him in wonder. I love that word. But what I really am relating to in here is that something has happened to you I don't understand. And the doctor is saying that it takes a real compulsive overeater to understand more on a than just an intellectual level, but to understand in the heart, which is what we have here, is the language of the heart. And I have witnessed the wonder, I have been in wonder listening to other people recovered, seeing them going from a hopeless state to healing, body, mind, and soul, all because they were willing to pay the price. And the price, which was referred to, is, the destruction of self-centeredness. So what I'm finding is that, it's a simple program. It's not easy. It's full of action. It's a daily reprieve. It's a lot of work to live this way in order to get what are the promises here. I highlighted as promises that there was, the effect was electric. There was a sense of victory followed by peace and serenity that I had never known. I had never known serenity and peace until I became recovered. The other thing that is really relating here is I put as a warning is that you had better hang on to it. Yes, I had better hang on to it. And I have to do these drastic proposals daily to hang on to it, which means I have to continually look at my disturbances, my fears, my everything that takes me out of the present moment. And, the thing that also is relating here is listening in wonder. It wasn't until I found a vision for you meetings about 2 years ago, and I remember calling in, and I was listening in wonder to all of you talking in a different language. It wasn't the language in my local OA meetings. It was a language of a spiritual experience, a spiritual program. It wasn't about food plans and food. That's my time. I'm timing myself, and I will wrap up. Thank you so much for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Sherry M., for getting us started. I'm now going to invite people who want to share. And although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day on this meeting in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you shared on Monday or Tuesday this week, let's step back and invite those who have not. Who would like to share today?
Paul L. from Florida.
Okay, I heard Paul L. Who else?
Linda P.
Robin.
Linda P. Robin.
Deb E.
Roz G.
Okay, 1 second. Deb E. Roz G. And was that Robin P. or a different Robin?
Robin P.
Okay, great. Okay. Who was that?
Jody H.
Okay, Jody. Now we'll stop. We have so far Paul L., Linda P., Robin P., Deb E., Roz G., and Jody H. And we will have time to take more names after these folks share. Paul L., please share with us.
Hi, Paul L. from Northeast Florida. Really grateful to be here. Thank you for your service, everyone who's helping out and contributing to this meeting. And I like that reading. I like the change that it talks about. And I like when I get to see the change. I'm in several other fellowships, and I've seen changes over the years in other people, and it makes me feel good. And I've seen the change in myself. And having 4 months of abstinence, I've seen a lot of, especially with my behavior around food, is the first thing that changed. And I still have a long way to go. I still probably get on the scale too much. I still try to manage a little bit. But the main thing for me is that the compulsion and the binging has been lifted, and that's a miracle. There's been times over the last 4 months, like I think 3 times where I got up and ate something at night. It wasn't any junk or anything like that. And my sponsor said, don't be so hard on yourself. It's going to happen from time to time. And I'm really grateful that I haven't had to go back to my addictive foods. and wake up in that horrible state of depression and can't get out of bed and hungover and on the food. And it's nothing short of a miracle. You know, I hope that my relationship with my higher power gets stronger as a result of this. I'm still in the beginning, and I'm still, you know, I have a lot of mental health issues, and I think I struggle a lot. But even through all that, I'm still abstinent, and it's the first thing on my gratitude list in the morning. You know, when I get on my knees or when I write on a paper, is that I'm abstinent, and that is a big change for me. And I didn't have some kind of booming spiritual awakening. It was just one day I didn't eat. Then 2 days I didn't eat. Then 3 days I didn't binge. And then all of a sudden, it feels like I've been abstinent for years, although it's only been a short time and I have a lot to learn. But I just wanted to make sure I got on this meeting today. I have some time and contribute and listen to those who have been here a lot longer than I have. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Paul L. Linda P., please share with us.
Hi, this is Linda P., recovered compulsive overeater from New York, but temporarily living in Lincoln, Nebraska. I love this. I love the paragraph from yesterday and the two from today. It's so beautiful. You know, that kind of, you know, how different that must have been to have your first spiritual experience, because I know that when I have them and have had them in this program, that there is nothing like that peace and serenity and calmness that feels like it comes out of nowhere. It is the most beautiful thing. And the doctor, who was just so kind and so open to really listen and to really hear that something had changed, and what struck me in this last paragraph, though, was, you know, we see that change. I mean, it's visceral. It's an amazing thing. And I remember the first time I saw that change in someone. It was my sister-in-law, and this is way before I got in program. And this woman and I had a not so great relationship. I thought she was very judgmental and mean. I didn't think she liked me and blah, blah, blah. And we sat in the car one day, in the back seat of the car. I think my parents were in the front, and she was very kind. She was very calm. And she told me about what had happened to her, you know, and how she had, you know, her program. But it wasn't what she said. It's what I observed in her. And that did open me up to 12-step programs that was the opening of the door, even though it came years before. I saw it in her, and I really believed it. And I loved how the doctor, you know, was so open, could see it, and then, you know, he knows that this is real. You know, I see it all the time in program, and I see it in myself. Thank God to have this different way of feeling and being, and it's not all the time, but it comes much more often, and it is a real gift to see it in others. That's it for me. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Linda P. Robin P., please share with us.
Thanks so much, Kathy. Hi, I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in the Yucatan Peninsula in Mexico. Grateful to be here today on the phone line. And, you know, I don't usually share this because it's so personal, but I figured these are extraordinary times and this might help somebody. So I had... You know, I was a devout atheist growing up, and I'm Jewish by blood, and this is not a religious program. But I just really was so far from any belief in God. I had grown up with so much child abuse, and it just didn't look like there was a God during my childhood. And I came into the rooms, and I saw a God on the walls, and I left, and someone said, just any power greater than yourself. And I left the program. I tried, and I just really struggled. And I started on Broadway for a long time, and I was in a biblical musical, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, and I was an atheist Jew. And I just found myself, I had everything on the outside and nothing on the inside. And I just prayed. I got on my knees. And I said, dear God, if you exist, please show me your will and help me to do it. And I had a series of events for the next 3 days that were profound, including a voice, including very strong messages that my only sin was fear. And I was so afraid of getting hurt that I run and I hurt everyone in my path, and that it was about a faith at work. And, you know, I've had such profound experiences with God, and I am so grateful to believe in the Lord today, and had so many miraculous things. And yet it says here, the good doctor, he says, you had better hang on to it. So even though I've had the profound variety, I still get to every day do my faith walk. It's a faith stand. It's not a faith sit. It's a faith walk. And with God and my fellows, and God bless everybody with a very abstinent and blessed day. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Robin P. Deb E., please share with us.
Hi, I'm Deb E., recovered in Israel, compulsive overeater. And the part of this paragraph that I like the most is, well, I've kind of broken it into three parts, is something has happened to you I don't understand. I was just thinking about this morning. It's, I can't explain how I got abstinent. Like, I can't specifically say what it was. It was something that happened over time, and it was the result of working the steps and finding a higher power that I believed was there and that I believed could help me. But it's really something, it's not something tangible. It's not something I can say, you know, and I think this is what baffles a lot of people in the beginning. It's like, I can't really tell you how it works or what works. It's just follow these instructions and somehow this amazing transformation occurs. And the next part, when it says, but you had better hang on to it. You know, I don't want to start over. I'm very grateful that I have not had a relapse and that I've had long-term abstinence so far. And I take it really seriously. I don't want to go back. I don't want to play around with it. I don't want to take any chances because I don't know if I have another, you know, recovery in me. Like, I don't know if I play around with food, if I go back into those old behaviors, if I could get abstinent again. And so for me, it's just not worth, messing around with it. And the last sentence, he knows that they are real. You know, it's really wonderful to watch a newcomer come in with like this just kind of lost over look in their eyes. And usually like an odd, well, not usually, but some people with a scowl on their face and all this, and I've seen it so many times where it's just their eyes become clear and you can see something's changed inside them. And like completely aside from any weight loss or any physical transformation, it's a transformation that has changed within them. And it's like you can just see the light shining through. And it's really an honor to be a part of that. You know, it's amazing enough to experience it myself, but to get to watch other people and to get to be a part their recovery and help them along their path is really like so much of what this is about. And with that, I will pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Deb E. Roz G., please share with us.
Good morning. My name is Roz G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Palmdale, California. And I'd like to talk about some changes in my life due to what this paragraph says. Something has happened to you I don't understand because it's way better than you were. So to me, that says you've done some changing. And so just, you know, kind of to bring it current to the changes that I see in myself. Last night, I was feeling very anxious about some things that are happening in our country. And I am a human being, and I will never rise above being a human being. And so I felt anxious. And I was thanking God for Harlan because a lot of the things he repeats, I have, they're like tapes running through my head. And I said to myself, or it was like he was saying to me, you're never going to rise above a human being. And when you're not eating the food, you're going to feel better. Yeah, you're going to feel anger better. You're going to feel jealousy better. You're going to feel whatever better. So I was feeling anxiety better last night. And so I turned to the steps, and I did not call anybody names. I did not act on my resentful feelings. I felt my resentful feelings, and I used the 10th step to express them. I felt fear. I did not eat for the fear. I was looking on some social media posts, and some people were joking and saying, I'm on my second bowl of ice cream. They're not in OA or anything, but it's like, yeah, I get that. I could have sat and ate popcorn and whatever else all night and watched TV, but I didn't. I turned to the book, I turned to the steps, I turned to my fellows, and I had a peaceful night's sleep, and I did my nightly review. And I did, and it was, as I heard in the first share, I didn't wake up hungover. I didn't wake up regretting. I woke up writing a gratitude list, thanking God for all the good things in my life. That is a huge change for me. As the seasons change, now we're in fall, like full on fall, I'm not buying clothes that are either size, up or down. I'm at the same that I was. I did gain some weight over this pandemic because of inactivity, but my sponsor and I have done some adjusting to my food plan and my activity level. That's being a human being. I'm not a statue. I'm going to change. Oh, I'm so grateful for this program and that I am nowhere near where I used to be. What a compassionate way to treat oneself. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Roz G. Jody H., please share with us.
Yes. My name is Jody H. I'm from the state of Maine, and I'm a compulsive overeater working to become recovered. Yes, I was so touched by this reading today. It was fantastic. It reminded me, I've gotten into a place now that I've been about three months abstinent, and I'm coming to this place now where people are noticing a difference in my weight by my clothes. And it was like, I felt like Bob. I didn't know how to explain what was happening, but in that moment, I didn't know how to explain it to them that I'm not on a diet. And I didn't know how to explain it to them that I'm eating actually more food than I used to eat, and I'm losing weight because I'm eating healthy, and I'm adjusting, like it's been mentioned before, I'm adjusting my food to my activity level. And it's just fantastic. I've only been in the Vision for You or OA since June. And it's been a wonderful trip with my higher power. My higher power, I had a higher power before I came into the program. And it's a good thing because there was many times when I was speaking to my sponsor and my eyes were rolling and I was saying, yeah, 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 yeah. And I had a rotten attitude. But my higher power said, stick with it. It's what I have for you. It's how to keep the temple of your body healthy and good and at a good weight and doing the right thing. And so with that encouragement from my higher power, I've stuck it out, and it's well worth it. About August, I had this spiritual experience. It was a slow thing, but it came to a head this past Sunday when I went to church and people were like, how are you losing your weight? And I'm like, I didn't know how to explain it except for it's not a diet. It's eating healthy and doing what's right and not eating junk food or things that are my allergic food. So I just want to thank God for the Vision for You program. and say to newcomers, hang in there, it's worth it. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Jody H. Okay, we can now take some more names of people who would like to share. Who would like to share?
Alice A.
Alice A.
Courtney M.
Courtney M. Anyone else?
Larry G.
Larry G.
Amy N.
Amy N. Take two more names, please.
Penny L.C.
Hi, Penny. Penny L.C. Thank you.
Linnea B.
Linnea B. Okay, let's stop there. Okay, Alice A., please share with us.
Thank you. My name is Alice A. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive eater from Alabama. In this chapter, or in this paragraph, the two words peaceful and serenity stuck out to me. My spiritual awakening was not overnight, but one day I was sitting in a chair when it was raining. And usually when I was just sitting, I always felt guilty because I wasn't doing something constructive. And when I felt guilty, I would eat or I would numb myself with TV or maybe both. But on this particular day, I was simply enjoying listening to the rain. And I thought, thank you, God. You've replaced calamity with serenity in my life. My life had always been in turmoil, and I longed for serenity. It was one of my favorite words. And that's what I equate with spiritual awakening. And I thank God every day for my serenity. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Alice A. Courtney N., please share with us.
Hello, this is Courtney M.
Hi, Courtney.
That's funny. Wasn't sure if I was being heard. This is Courtney M., a recovered compulsive overeater in Southwest Florida. And thank you to everybody for doing service and keeping this meeting going. One of the things that, for me, the spiritual awakening, I wish I could say that I had that wonderful lightning bolt that Bill got to experience. That's not my experience. Mine has been slow and gradual, and every now and then it's been painful as I've stumbled and scraped my knees along the way. But one of the things that I'm finding in my recovery is every time I fall down and scrape my knees, I just kind of have to stay there for a second on my knees and learn that humility. For me, the spiritual awakening shows up as humility because I definitely, when left to my own devices and in my disease, can be highly egotistical. And not necessarily in the I'm so great way, but just that, you know, everything revolves around me. So for me, one of the things that I'm finding as a definition of this spiritual awakening is that level of honesty and humility that those to me are hallmarks. And that's what attracted me to doing 12-step work in the first place, was I knew some people in a different fellowship I always admired how humble and honest and they just seemed so in touch with themselves. And I was almost a little bit jealous of that because I thought, gosh, you know, you really can take them at their word. And I didn't feel like that was me. I don't think that anybody would describe me that way, including myself. So the spiritual awakening for me is that humility and that honesty, And one of the things that's happened for me just very, very recently in the last few days is that I'm finding another level of surrender in my parenting. And I think that my recovery and this opportunity to have this deeper connection with my higher power is giving me the ability to be a calmer, more patient and compassionate parent as well, which is beautiful because in just a few days of having a new form of abstinence, which for me is abstaining from yelling at my kids out of anger, I have not done that in 3 days, not even once. And that is a miracle. That is recovery to me. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Courtney M. Larry G., please share with us.
Good morning. My name is Larry G. I'm from Northern California, and I am so grateful to be on this call this morning. My spiritual experience when I got sober in 81 in Alcoholics Anonymous was the Bill W. variety. It was just sudden. It was like a seismic shift. I knew that when I walked out of the doors of that first meeting, I was never going to drink again. I never had that experience in OA because I always had held out that I was really more of a problem drinker, a problem food drunk. I could stop if I wanted to. And so I had surrendered in the last 26 years in OA, but the surrender was short term. But I can tell you on May 17th, I had a seismic shift of proportions that I have never experienced. My Ebby was my current beloved vision sponsor who suggested I get on the visions call. Well, it was a pre-recorded call Sunday evening. And the thought that went through my head was, you know, oh, F, not another friggin' meeting. But I got under and heard something. I hadn't really surrendered at that point. It was on Monday morning that I got on the live call that my jaw dropped. I was listening to people talk like I have never heard, except in AA meetings, taking recovery that seriously. Now, I'm not saying anything wrong about the traditional face-to-face meetings. They work for a lot of people. It stopped working for me. And so I had this seismic shift on Monday, May 17th, 2020. And I have to tell you, this is the first election in the last 20 plus years that I am not eating my way through it. This is the first holiday season in 20 years or longer that I'm not eating my way through it. I'm not waking up with that frothy emotional peel that today is going to be a different day. And by 10 o'clock, I'm in the food. What a miracle. I can't explain it. Just like Bill W., I can't explain it. It's intellectually, it can't be explained. Miracles cannot be explained. Mysteries of the universe cannot be explained. I feel today like I do withdraw my drinking, that I'm done. I ate up my lifetime share of flour and sugar, and I'm done. Not done with recovery, not done growing. There's going to be a lot of growing pains. And this is a tedious program, as it says in the Big Book. And I love the Visions Away. I love how involved we are in the Big Book. I love how involved we are with working with others. It says in the Big Book, once I get results, I commence working with others. And I have. Not because I'm a saint. Not because I'm this great spiritual being. It's because I want to save my own ass and my own skin. And I know the only way to do that is I can't hold on to it. I've got to give it away. Thank you, Vision people. Have a great absent day. I'm out.
Thank you, Larry G. Amy N., please share with us.
Hi, this is Amy N., recovered compulsive overeater. Very, very grateful to be on the line today. Gosh, it's such a good paragraph. Something has happened to you that I don't understand. It takes me back, the longer I am in program, the more I remember things that, like, I thought or that happened before program that kind of were like a little bit of cosmic shifts that happened then that I didn't even realize. And one of the things was, I remember when I was in religion before realizing how different it was for me than spirituality. When I was in religion and in a service, I remember watching a man that there was something so different about him than there was about me. And I found out later that he was, I found out later that he was in AA, and I just remember thinking, he acts like a man that has been saved from something. And now I totally get it. I feel like I am that person now that has been saved from a living death. And it is something has shifted in me that is hard to even describe, I guess, except I'm a different person now than I was, and even than I was last week. And I called my sponsor last night because I was feeling very unspiritual and very unprogram-like, and I was like, I have all of these feelings and I'm not acting on them, but I am feeling them. And she said, you did the next right thing and called your sponsor and were able to get back into truth, because especially with these crazy times that we're living in, my brain can easily go to like from 0 to 60 in 2 seconds, and all of a sudden all of this calamity has happened that has not happened. And living in the truth every day and being surrounded by other compulsive overeaters is what helps me to not be face down in a gallon of ice cream right now. Like, that is truly a miracle. And I'm just so grateful for program and for all of you on this line, and I will pass.
Thank you, Amy N. Penny LC, please share with us.
Thank you, Kathy. Good morning. Thank you for your service, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny LC, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And I'm, reflecting on Bill's experience here, and it takes me back to the back of the big book on page 567, where it says the terms spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which upon careful reading shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. So first of all, for me, a spiritual experience would be something that you can name that happened. It was like a moment. It was that what Bill experienced. But the spiritual awakening I see is something that happens over time and gradual. And that's more of Dr. Bob's experience. And I appreciate that they make it very clear that it can be individual to the person, that each of us has our own process that we come to spirit by. And it's okay that it's all in those different forms. It doesn't need to look the same. And you don't do it wrong if it's different, that is a freedom to come to. But then the fact is that it allows me to have that personality change sufficient to bring about recovery. And I believe that it's for me, it's on a continuum. Every day I'm living part of that spiritual awakening. Every day when I connect with my higher power. I'm grateful to have that sense of relationship, of that sense of guidance, of being led, knowing that it's not my will, but my higher power's will that I'm seeking. And that in of itself gives me a freedom and a peace. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Penny LC. Linnea B., please share with us. Press star 1 to unmute. Linnea? Okay, perhaps she's having technical difficulty. We still have time. Is there someone else who would like to share?
Hi, this is Janice. Can I share?
Sure, go ahead, Janice.
Lisa G from Texas.
Okay, Lisa, we'll see if we have time, but I'm not sure. Go ahead,
Janice. I'll make it. I'll make it fast. Hi, Janice P. in Colorado, and I just wanted to touch upon the part where he was talking about, you know, he felt alarmed. And I had a situation happen not too long ago where, you know, there was a lot of chaos around my mother's passing. And for a moment, you know, I was alarmed. I'm like, you know, why am I not so reactionary? Why is it easy for me to be in acceptance, you know, around this horrible situation? And, you know, I wouldn't change a thing. I was present. I enjoyed our last days together. And then at the end, you know, because my family was really angry with me. And at the end, they thanked me. You know, they were like, Janice, you were a rock. And but I must give credit where credit is due. It wasn't me. It was my higher power moving through me. All right. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Janice, for sharing with us. And Lisa, you'll be our last share. Please go ahead.
Thank you. This is Lisa G. from Texas, compulsive overeater. And I'm kind of taking a different stance on this very quickly just to say that realizing the depths that I was in a food addiction very recently is the thing that has been a real spiritual experience for me, really owning up to being a food addict, really owning up to it, really feeling the pain of it, really looking back. And I've been abstinent for about 4 months now, and it's the longest abstinence I've had in years. But I have not felt the depth of pain of where I was. And recently I have, and it's a little different than feeling the goodness of God, but I'll tell you, it's important for me to remember where I was because I don't ever want to be there again. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Lisa G. Okay, it's now time to close our meeting. What a wonderful meeting. Thank you to everybody who shared and who listened. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Jody E., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, I will. Thank you, Kathy K. My name is Jody E., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, anorexic, and bulimic. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.